that, because you don't often get a round of applause. Am I right, Councillor?
Absolutely.
Right. I think what we should do now, in fairness to Councillor Popley and Councillor Roberts, is to take the application 5C, application number P/22/2229/2, which is land east of Iveshead Road, Shepshed. Can I clarify, Councillor Popley, you are addressing the committee. Are you also going to do that, Councillor Roberts?
Yes.
Thank you. Very well, we'll start on our usual procedure then, and we'll start with the presentation by our officer. Mr. Worley, please.
Thank you, I'll pick this one up as well. So this is an outline application for up to 53 houses on the very edge of Shepshed. We visited this in August, not this afternoon, so not quite so fresh in the memory. So at the very southern edge of Shepshed, just to orientate ourselves, there's building going on here at the moment, which is an allocated site in the local plan. There's plan permission granted here at the moment, by virtue of a quite difficult to take appeal decision, and I know because I was in the appeal. And this proposal proposes 53 on this portion of land, which is actually quite large for 53, and that will come through in some of the diagrams I'm about to show. So a few photos of the site, just to refresh your memory. The site is on an incline towards the south. It's not at the point where the slope gets really sharp. It's more of a gentle incline, and I think the measurement from Iveshead Lane, which is the east-west running road to the southern edge of the site, is 2 metres, so it's not where it's shooting up at 45 degrees or anything like that. This is a helpful diagram just showing the context of everything that's going on in this part of the world, and there's quite a lot. So again, if I can try and home in on where the site is. This is all the allocations from the local plan. Say quite a lot of them. We granted that in earlier in the year. That is the one that is being built. This is where the appeal is, and we're here. So it's against this cluster of new development and change that this edge of Shepshed is due to experience. Adding to that change, perhaps, I should say. This is an indicative layout, so as I always do at this point, give a health warning out about the word indicative, because what you see is not necessarily what you get later on, but it's showing how it could be done, not how it will be done. But what this sort of quite helpfully shows is that for a site 53, it's quite generous. You don't usually see, if we'd done the equivalent on Ginsell Lane earlier, it wouldn't have looked like that. It looked like a whole lot more packed in, and it wouldn't have had this swathe of open space that's been designed to create a bit of separation between the other developments. That's also derivative of the fact that it's in the National Forest boundary, and the National Forest policies require more planting and space than you do when you're elsewhere, and this is the space to accommodate that, basically. So the key issues are the access and the impact on the trees. So if I can just go back a slide. The access, which is part of this application, is proposed just here. It's not quite opposite the access for the appeal site, and it's not quite opposite the access for the fairly new development just here. It's midway between the two. It will cause the removal of a tree. That's the reference to trees in that location. The landscape is important, and hopefully you picked up from extras there's been some confusion and subsequently correction about which landscape character area this site lies in. It's actually area 3. Again, I'll use this diagram, not 7. And the confusion It's a trap waiting to happen, isn't it? Because the confusion between that is the Iveshead Road itself is the dividing line between 3 and 7. And some people mistakenly thought it was in 7. I don't believe that makes a huge amount of difference, because what our policies say is that we need to take into account landscape character wherever it is. There's nothing saying certain landscape areas are fair game and others aren't. It's a more granular case-by-case assessment is required. And as I've alluded to earlier, we're in the lower slopes here, so we don't believe that this site is interfering with the essential characteristics of that character area within the forest. That's further up the hill, in blunt terms. I mentioned National Forest, so there are mechanisms within the proposal and reflected in the conditions and the proposed 106 to secure those requirements. It's kind of and or, depending on how far they get. That's the intention anyway. It brings to the table affordable housing to the quantity that our policy requires. That's current policy, not future policy. Future policy not quite with us yet, so we can't rely on it. And quite a list, but I have to say very, very familiar list of developer contributions for the likes of schools and off-site open space and various highway works and things like that. And just, sorry, it's very, very repetitive, all of this, of course, under the auspices of paragraph 11D, just like the last application and the one before that, because that's where we are. This is just a closer-up diagram of the access, and the tree that I referred to, this one here, would be a casualty of the scheme. So I've raced ahead. So to the end, we're back into paragraph 11D territory, harm and benefits. Housing provision at this scale, especially with affordable housing, always seems to be afforded significant weight. You can read appeal decisions till you're blue in the face, telling us that, including the one on the site right next to this. And for that reason, we consider those benefits significant, and the harms in this case really quite limited. Sure, it's building the countryside outside traditional limits to development, but it's not special countryside of any kind, like a green wedge or an area of separation. And might say even when we have encountered those, they've failed at appeal anyway. So we seem to be in lower stakes territory here. And that leads us to the conclusion that we should approve, because the benefits are regarded as so valuable. And that's encapsulated in the recommendation next to the 106 list.
Thank you, Mr. Hawley. Speakers are in order are Mr. Tom Armfield on behalf of the agent, and then we had ward councillors Popley and Roberts, who will share 5 minutes. So Mr. Armfield, when you are ready, please. You have 5 minutes, Mr. Armfield, and Officer Ms. Dobson will tell you when your 4 minutes are up, and you have 1 minute to go. So when you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I check, can everyone hear me? Okay, excellent, thank you. Madam Chair and members of the Plans Committee, thank you for providing us with the opportunity to address you. My name is Tom Armfield of Turley, and I act on behalf of Rainier Developments, the applicant for this application. You have before you an outline application for up to 53 family homes. We've worked closely with your officers and statutory consultees throughout pre- and post-application discussions. We'd like to thank them for their input. We believe this has resulted in positive changes to the design of the proposals, and that was reflected, I think, in Mr. Worley's presentation just now. The proposals will deliver a number of significant benefits for Shepshed and the wider borough. The four key benefits are: one, it includes the delivery of 53 homes, including a policy compliant 20% affordable housing provision, all of which will be delivered within the next 5 years, so will assist the council in increasing its 5 years land supply position. Two, it is a landscape-led scheme. Existing landscaping on a site is to be retained and enhanced. Substantial landscaping and tree planting is proposed, including a new 15-metre deep buffer along the southern boundary. This will create a new network of ecology and wildlife corridors. This accords with all policies in respect to the Charnwood Forest and National Forest. Three, it includes the provision of new public open space and new pedestrian and cycling routes, which is well in excess of policy requirements. And four, financial contributions towards improving local schools, libraries, highway improvements, NHS care and open space. Beyond these benefits, the site is deliverable now. As your officer's report confirms, there are no outstanding technical matters or objections from any statutory consultees, and there are only four objections to the application from three different properties. Notwithstanding the proposal's benefits, we are aware of some of the concerns raised by the Town Council. As is clear from the Officers' Committee report, all of the comments raised have been robustly considered and responded to through consultation with statutory consultees. There are no objections from any statutory consultee. The Highways Authority has confirmed that, subject to contributions to off-site highway improvements, there will be no adverse impacts on highway safety. The site is well located, and other decisions for sites nearby have confirmed that development in this location is within close reach of a wide range of facilities and is acceptable in terms of accessibility. The officer's report is clear that the site is not sensitive in landscape and visual terms. It is contained by the urban fringe on a low slope and enclosed by the hill to the south. This is a point reinforced by the recent allowed peel on land to the east of Iveshead Road. The proposals are also capable of mitigating any potential impacts on the Morley Quarry Local Nature Reserve in the form of on-site open space and footpath provision substantially in excess of policy requirements, along with homeowner packs signposting residents to alternative outdoor space. As such, your officer's report makes clear that the tilted balance in terms of the National Planning Policy Framework applies in the determination of this application, and overall the proposals are considered to be acceptable. They will not materially harm the character and appearance of the area. There are no adverse impacts which would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits. We therefore respectfully request that members support their officer's recommendation and approve the planning application. Thank you for your time, members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Armfield. And next we have Councillors Popley and Roberts, please, to share the 5 minutes allotted to them. If you'd like to come forward. As you know, you have 5 minutes and you'll get a 1 minute warning. So, when you're ready, please.
Chair and fellow members, thank you for affording me and Councillor Roberts the opportunity to speak at tonight's plans meeting. I was disappointed the item was withdrawn previously at what felt like very short notice, but I am pleased to now be able to make representations on behalf of my constituents. Application number P/22/2229/2, hereafter referred to as the application, outlines a proposed development of up to 53 homes within our ward. My call-in for the application referred to two key areas, most notably the change on the existing street scene and effect on the current drainage systems in place. Whilst the application's title also states all reserved matters except for access are to be reviewed this evening, it does go on to state that associated access should also be considered, and having already been in this place previously, to highlight the significance of this road as a connection between Shepshed and northwest Leicestershire, I was somewhat surprised to see that once again the Highways Authority appeared to make little to no comment on what is widely considered to be a black spot traffic area. I also wish to support Councillor Lawrence's observations regarding local amenities and bus stops. The nearest supermarket is best accessed by car, but not bus or foot. Several submissions made by my own constituents have alluded to a change in street scene. Rather than going through each individual letter, a more general overview notes that amongst letters forwarded to the planning department include correspondence sent to our MP, as well as myself, pertaining the same points of frustration and worry. However, I do believe there are some comments of noteworthiness which have been sent to me, including 1. This site lies within Landscape Area 3, Charlie Heath and Pasture, and not in Landscape Area 7, as originally stated by the planning officer. And 2. If this scale of development is allowed in a highly sensitive landscape area, then a precedent has been set for a further development to the south of Icehead Lane and into the heart of Charnwood Forest. Ever since becoming a borough council in 2019, this ecological argument has surfaced on numerous occasions regarding applications in this area, and I continue to have many of my constituents raise this in their discussions with me, implying it is a grave cause for concern. It has also been a point of discussion with officers I've met with an environmental background. When in receipt of the initial extras report, as I'm sure all members in attendance would have also seen, I read a remark referring to 30 letters of support being made from the Just Build Homes campaign group. Upon further reading, I was interested to note that the 30 letters of support, 29 of those have been added to the planning portal just 2 days prior to the last scheduled meeting, and amongst the entire quota, 24 of those letters stem from LE11 postcodes rather than LE12 postcodes found within our ward. One final remark I wish to make before passing on to Councillor Roberts relates to Seven Trent's email dated the 28th of May. Seven Trent made a reference to a sewer modelling study which may be required to determine the impact this development will have on the existing system and if flows can be accommodated. Within the same correspondence, a more comprehensive study of the catchment is referred to, indicating that there is a possible acknowledgement that the existing sewerage system may in some way be affected. I have been shown photographic evidence of the drains overflowing on previous casework I've been involved with, and at that time I was again made aware the local MP had been contacted to this end. Therefore, this drainage system in the area is known to have been previously affected to some degree, which remains of fear. I now pass over to Councillor Roberts. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Pockley. Thank you again for welcoming me back to talk. We've got one National Forest. We've also got one Charnwood Forest. Shepshed has only got one Charlie Heath and Pasture, and this is part of it. And we're deciding today whether we're going to put 53 houses on it. And I don't care whether they've got spacing or not. It's in the National Forest, and it's not in the local plan, and it's not in the new local plan either. The drains will be horrendous. It's a burden on utilities as it is. It's in an SSSI area, and Ivesheath Junction will be at overcapacity. It's the walk down to the bus stop for those people in the affordable housing is a long one. The nearest corner shop is on the A512, which is nowhere near Ivesheath Road, let alone the top of it. And this development does not have suitable children's play area attached. They'll have to walk to the next one, wherever that is. Overall, I am not impressed with this development at all and ask that it be refused. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Roberts. Thank you, Councillor Popley. Mr. Woolley, would you like to come back before I go to the member?
Sorry, a couple of facts amongst this that I need to raise. The site isn't an SSSI. There's a few nearby, one to the east and one that I've said outcrop. I've forgotten its proper name, sorry. But that's a good distance from this site, so this site is not an SSSI. That's quite dangerous. The site would contain play equipment at the level commensurate to its size. That's encaptured in the conditions rather than the plans. It's an outline outline application, so we don't get this level of detail up front. And also, if I can sort of try and unravel this business about Severn Trent, it's like all the applications that we deal with, really, which is to say that just because you get planning permission, if you're a builder, just because you get planning permission doesn't mean you're home and dry. There's various other hurdles to get across as well, like your building regulations and your highways regulations, and you deal with Severn Trent as well. So it's outside the planning process, and it can be a death knell to development, just like us refusing planning permission can be. But that's undertaken in a different forum, which we're not part of.
Thank you, Mr. Worley. I have two members who wish to speak. I have three. I have four. Right, my first speaker is Councillor Lenny, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm a little bit concerned about this, and I did ask some questions earlier, but I feel I ought to outline to other members on the committee what my thoughts are in this particular application. This particular site is not in the Schlar, the emerging or current plans, and yet this it's an opportunist because we've not got the 5-year full housing development numbers, opportunist application, and yet we're allowing them only to have 20% affordable housing, which I don't agree with at all. The site is within the Charnwood Forest and Geopark, and the lovely area that the planning officer was showing us as a lovely space at the north of the site is actually going to be a suds, I believe, which is a sustainable drainage for the water washing off of the new development. And the Charnwood Forest Company, is it the National Forest Company, said that you can't plant your trees there because it's a suds area, and apparently that's not acceptable for the longevity of the trees. It's at the base of Iveshead Hill, which is an SSSI, and I think, I might not be completely sure, but the difference between being a sensitive Area 7 and an Area 3 is because the Area 7 is farming large fields of crops, whereas in Area 3, I believe it's because it's grassland, and it is going to be a bit of a loss, to be honest. My final comment is about the Just Build Homes emails, which popped up at the end of the application list of documents when we were going to review this last month. And I'd just like to say that Just Build Homes is a lobby group funded by development companies and run by a company who games the planning system by phoning people and pretending that there is affordable houses which will be made available to them if only the planning department and the members on the committee didn't refuse planning permission on these applications. Okay. That's it for me.
Do you wish to comment on anything that Councillor Lenny has raised?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, if I may. I've zoomed to this slide deliberately to explain a little bit more about the approach to the National Forest planting requirements. So the idea is, as Councillor Lenny said, they wish to plant up this corner of the site to meet those requirements. But there's a doubt about whether that's achievable because a proportion of this area will be dedicated to suds, but it's not been designed up yet, so we don't know how much, and therefore how much planting might be achieved. So What we're proposing and what the National Forest Company has agreed to is that they'll do what they can in this corner, but if it doesn't make the standard, there'll be compensation in the tune of a payment, and that figure there is the maximum payment it could possibly be, because that would be enough to do it elsewhere. So 21,000 or a proportion of 21,000 would find its way to the National Forest Company if it's not achieved on site, basically. So one way or another, they get their quota, basically. I just want to also pick up some of this business about the landscape character areas, if I may, please, because it's... They're quite difficult because they cover, I don't know how many square miles the landscape character areas each cover, maybe even hundreds, because there's only 7 for the whole borough, and so they must be quite big, and therefore they speak in very general terms about the characteristics of each segment. This one, the Charlie Heath one, talks about the forest characteristics, about trees and tranquility and things like that. And frankly, with the best will in the world, this doesn't have that feel to it. This particular field doesn't have that feel to it, because it's right on the edge of the... tranquil is probably the last word you would use to describe it. And finally, if I can just bring something of a personal perspective to this, because when this came onto my horizon only in July, I'll go back to this slide, I thought I was having an episode of deja vu. Because everything we're saying here are the arguments that were run for that site there. And I was involved in that when I was working for Charnwood last year. And I'll tell you, in the appeal, bluntly, we didn't just lose, we were thrashed trying to run these arguments. And I'm seeing the same thing happening again, because we're talking about same kind of land with the same kind of elevation and the same kind of development, and I am very nervous.
Thank you, Mr. Hawley.
Sorry, Mr. Bennett's just pointed to that. I tripped myself up on the way there. The proposal for play space on this one is not to be actually on the site. It's for a different sum of money to be provided so it can be constructed elsewhere nearby by ourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Hawley. I have Councillor Charles, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, most of my questions have been answered. I was interested in the National Forest and the planting. You've answered that one. And I was going to ask what the appeal decision was actually on the other site. And I think you've answered that as well. So really, I've got no further questions I'd like to ask. Thank you, Chair.
Would you like to respond at this stage to Councillor Charles? Thank you. I have Councillor Warren, please.
Okay, my concern is around sustainable development. And having read through it all, I appreciate that there are going to be travel packs and bus passes provided, but it's for a period of 6 months. And I'm concerned that the sustainability is not continuing. It is also located quite a way away from all amenities. And I'm concerned about the amount of car usage that there will still be from this site. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Warren. Mr. Hawley.
Yeah, briefly, if I may. While this slide's here, I'll make use of it. So, of course, that debate was part of this scheme as well, and it passed with flying colours, frankly. But if I can use a different slide. You know, this is extract from a local plan, and we voluntarily are allocating that lot which by definition means we consider all those sites, all those orange sites, to be sustainable. And I think it's fair to say this is, it'd be splitting hairs to argue that this site, I'll just pinpoint it again, there, is any worse than several of those.
Councillor Lawrence, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee might recall that in the extras report for the last time this application came to the committee, that there was no information about the distance. There was information, because I asked for it, about the distance to the nearest bus stop, and that was stated by the officer to be 720 metres. Obviously, we never got to debate that before, but I just thought I'd point that out, because I'm not seeing that figure anywhere in the officer's report. So, kind of a general request from me really is, you know, could we, in this type of situation with a large development, you know, could we always have that information about the distance to the nearest bus stop? That would be really useful. Otherwise, it will just end up, you know, one of us is going to have to ask for it. What's also relevant to that is that for the adjacent site where there was the planning appeal, the inspector regarded that sort of distance, because it would be the same sort of distance just across the road, that to be acceptable. While we might not agree with that, obviously we have to be cognizant that if that's what the planning inspector thinks is okay, then it's not what we might be comfortable with, but it's a fact. In the report, paragraph 9.9.9, it does say the site lies within close proximity to public transport. Well, I think that's kind of stretching it a bit. However, if the planning inspector in that appeal was kind of, it was an acceptable proximity to public transport, then I guess we just have to live with that. The other thing I think we have to live with is that appeal decision for the adjacent site in general. Clearly the inspector took the view that in our current situation with paragraph 11D, tilted balance in favour of development, etc. If that's what the way that the appeal decision went, as has been described by the officers this evening, then it seems, you know, regretfully, that resisting development is unlikely to be defensible in any appeal on this particular application. And that's just something, you know, we need to be aware of and when we decide on this application, I think. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lawrence. Mr. Warley, Mr. Bennett, do you want to come back on anything? Thank you. Right, I see no other hands up. Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I listened to this debate because it's one of those, isn't it? You know, do you go with it or don't you go with it? I take on board what the officer said about a possible appeal if it was to go through, and I can totally understand that if it went to an appeal, if we refused it this evening and it went to an appeal, we would lose. Therefore, I'm going to propose officer's recommendation.
Right. Councillor, you are proposing that we refuse. No, we accept officer's recommendation. Is there a seconder, please? Councillor Charles, you are seconding that we accept officer's recommendation. Thank you. Can I see a show of hands, please? Those four. Those against? Those abstaining?
Thank you, Chair. I can confirm that the vote was carried and the officer's recommendation accepted. It was a vote of 10 for, 1 against and 2 abstentions.
Thank you very much, members. Right, members, we come to the last application of the evening. Don't start cheering, there's still a long way to go. We come now to item 5E, application number P/22/1728/2, land south of Wymswold Industrial Estate, Wymswold Lane, Wymswold. And we follow the planning procedure. We will have a presentation by our... You are presenting, Mr. Warley?
Yes. Until next week.
Oh, no, don't frighten them with that. We have Mr. Warley to speak, and we have a speaker, a Mr. James Clark. Thank you, on behalf of the agent. So, over to you, please, Mr. Warley.
Right, I think we can do this a lot quicker. It doesn't have, like, the complexities and the balances and all that stuff that we have to grapple with on quite this one. So, if I can just start with geography, and again, we visited this afternoon, so most of us know where we are. But in the industrial estate, accessing it by its main entrance point, and just as you approach the first units, there's a vacant enclosed field, enclosed by hedge, on your right, a bit degraded with stuff stored on it, and a JCB today that marks the site for this larger scale. So the blue portion to the left of the red is where we parked the bus today, and some very new, fresh industrial units that have been built in just the last couple of years. And basically, this site is proposing to do the same again. A little bit of history. We've examined the sort of the wartime interest in this site, because there was actually physical structures on this parcel of land, but it turns out there's not much to get excited about there, but it was worth checking, you never know. So that's what we saw today. For those of us that weren't with us, it's clean and fresh, and essentially that's what they want to build another phase of. This is how it's viewed from... this is from the road approaching the site, and the lower bit is from the footpath, which some of you were with me when we spotted the way marker. It runs parallel south of the site, so you get a view sort of back on yourself towards the industrial estate, and that's what the lower of those pictures conveys. This is a layout, as I say. It's what we saw already, basically. It's proposing, this is what the yellow, blue and green is. It's proposing a fresher approach to landscaping to screen it, not that rather abrupt bank that we saw today. Something a bit more subtle and a bit more natural looking. More layout, as I say, the experience was probably more informative than the diagrams. But in policy terms, at every level, the policy is really quite supportive, because the neighbourhood plan talks about expanding the industrial estate so long as it's of a modest proportion. The core strategy is, in more general terms, talks about industrial sites in the rural area, not specifically about Wymswold, but makes similar noises about encouraging their growth. And the emerging local plan does exactly the same, caveated by words about not sort of causing mass destruction of the countryside all around. And our view is that it won't do that, because it sits in basically a pocket of the existing industrial estate. It's well screened in most directions, will be further screened by what they want to do on the site, and therefore we think it passes those tests. And as I say, the policies are very supportive in principle, just that detail. A little bit of 106 on this one is proposed, nothing like the housing sites we have, just about doing our best to encourage workers to car share, go by bike, various other means, and biodiversity net gain, because despite the condition of the site that we saw today, it still has a value, and they are intended to cover pretty much every square inch with tarmac, so it's compensation for that. Now, we hope that will be achieved in the landscaping that will be introduced. It will sort of be dual purpose between screening and providing ecology. But the 106, a bit like the last scheme, is an and-or scenario, that if they don't make it, there can be a sum paid to make up whatever deficit arise somewhere else. So that's the recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Worley. Mr. James Clark, please.
Good evening, my name is James Clark. I'm a chartered town planner and the agent for this planning application on behalf of Arthur Prince Limited, a local employer to Leicestershire who's been in business for 100 years and brought forward successful developments and employment creation within the area. Thank you for allowing me to speak at this evening's meeting. I don't want to repeat what your officer has carefully and factually reported, however I do want to briefly mention some pertinent points relating to the proposed development. I'd like to reaffirm the collaborative approach we have taken to working with the council on this site. We engaged early with your offices obtaining pre-application advice on the layout and form of development, as well as establishing the key issues that we need to be considered by the subsequent planning application. The application before you is for 21 industrial units of varying sizes, comprising phase two of the Wymes Old Airfield development. Phase one is located to the west of the development and has proven to be a popular and successful development, with all units now fully occupied by a variety of businesses, including manufacturing, construction, electrical and automotive industries. The current planning application is on a brownfield site and seeks to build on the successes of phase one, which has created in the region of 150 local employment opportunities. 9 of the proposed 21 units have been pre-let, subject to planning permission to local businesses based in Loughborough, Quorn and Burton-on-the-Wold, and interest has been received from 114 individuals on the remaining units. Phase two is expected to generate in the region of a further 100 to 150 employment opportunities. The development reflects the design concept of phase one, with units arranged in a courtyard around a central spine road providing pedestrian and vehicle access to each unit. Landscaping is proposed throughout the site and under the canopy of the existing tree line to the east to provide additional screening from the roadside. The application is supported by robust technical reports which demonstrate that the development will not result in adverse impacts that cannot be mitigated. The Highway Authority has not raised an objection and confirms that the proposed access is safe and that the local highway network has sufficient capacity to accommodate the development. In summary, the application before you proposes the development of a brownfield site for employment purposes where no adverse impacts have been identified and that there are no objections from the Council's statutory consultees. The proposals are also compliant with the Wolds Neighbourhood Plan, which supports small-scale expansion of the industrial park. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Councillor Fryer, please. Oh, sorry, did you want to come?
No.
Councillor Fryer, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I was on the site visit this afternoon and also many years ago, so there's no conflict of interest now. I worked for 20 years in a similar unit to these. I think if the new design, which seems to be following the current ones that were there, there was plenty of parking. It was interesting to see that the entrance to the site has security cameras to go into the whole area. It's on an old, in a way, industrial area because it was an airfield. The surrounding area to it, and just down the road there's the old Hawker Siddeley building. It's on that side of the town, so people can easily access it from villages, and it's bringing in vital employment areas, easily accessible in a pleasant area for our resident. So I'd like to propose the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Councillor Charles, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick point. I'm happy to second the recommendation, but I note that the Parish Council have asked if it's possible to direct the construction traffic away from the village, and I'm just wondering if that's conditionable or not. Thank you.
In a roundabout way, it is. One of the conditions requires a construction management plan. So we invite those details rather than direct what must and mustn't happen. But you can be pretty much assured that that's the first thing within such documents.
I can't see any other hands, right? I thank the council.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very quickly, there's a proposed condition around the securing the energy efficient measures in terms of the construction and use of the buildings. That's number 14 on page 192. I just wanted to suggest to officers that, obviously, officers would be negotiating that with the developer should we approve the application. I'd be quite keen and would suggest it, that the developer thinks about having solar panels on the roof of these buildings to generate the power to run the buildings and the site.
Thank you. Well, a bit like the answer to the last question, the condition's framed in such a way that it invites them to inform us of our proposals, and in the sustainable construction topic, they're many and varied, so there's a long menu to choose from, of which solar panels are in and are usually near the top. So that's how it's written at the moment. I don't think there'd be anything particularly preventing us being more prescriptive and saying that that's what it should include, or maybe some middle ground, and we could suggest that that's what we'd like to see.
Anyone else, please? Very well, we'll go to the vote. It's proposed by Councillor Fryer and seconded by Councillor Charles that we accept officers' recommendation. All those in favour? Thank you. Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I confirm the vote. That was a vote unanimous in favour of following officer's recommendation.
Thank you. We just come to the final part of our document right at the back. Is
I won't give you another round of applause. Thank you.
Right, it's the pages on delegated planning decisions. Does anyone have any comments or remarks or complaints about any of these pages? Very well. I close the meeting at 8:45, and I look forward to seeing you all next Wednesday, as ever was. So don't get too...